It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are here on this rather dreary Saturday. You might as well be doing something, either driving around or sitting home listening to a good radio program, because you really don't want to be on the golf course or even out on the water fishing or anything. So perhaps it's a good time to learn a little something. And I promise you, if you stick around, you'll learn a little something. We will, of course, have our trivia question coming up after the first break. And as always, welcome to the people that make this possible, our every Saturday, very, very loyal listeners. We appreciate it. New people coming on every day. So if you're new to the show, stick around for a while and see if you don't pick up a little advice that could be useful, or at least fun, if not useful. Never know. Sometimes fun is good enough. Anyway, we had a little bit of delay getting in the door today, so Howard and Angela did not get to ask us what the market was like. So if you look carefully, I have both of my thumbs up.
Well, I would only put one thumb up.
All right, I got one up all the way and one at half-mast.
Yeah, it was actually a better week than it felt like it was.
Yeah, this was one of those strange ones, wasn't it, where you do the numbers and you think, wow, it must have been great.
Yeah, it was weird because there was a lot of kind of going nowhere trading. There wasn't big moves.
Especially the last hour. Nobody wanted to hold anything overnight. So here we are on the cusp of a three-day weekend. And what did the trading do yesterday afternoon? It was nice and solid all the way to the
close. It really was. And so it was Thursday and Wednesday, too, I believe. So
you don't want to hold overnight, but you don't mind holding over a weekend, long weekend.
Very strange.
Yeah. But who am I to complain? The numbers were the right color.
Well, and also that coincided with another trend that I noticed. The VIX actually dropped below 20 for the first time in a long time. So
yeah, we're getting rid of that old pattern. Yeah, we're getting back into the old Trump pattern, basically, where there's not great big swings.
Yeah, that's
true. For those of you who think VIX comes in a bottle and you put it under your nose so you can breathe, VIX is simply the volatility index, which measures the rise and fall during the trading time of the stock exchange. So what you're saying is it's a nice, steady market without a lot of panic going on.
It was.
Despite GameStop.
Well, that's kind of past. So
it seems to be.
Yeah.
But GameStop was up, by the way, from 63 to 52.
Okay. Good luck with that
one. We told you.
Good luck with that trade, everyone who's in it. It was a surprisingly good week, as I mentioned. The Dow added about 1%, 1.2 on the S&P, and 1.7 on the NASDAQ. So really good numbers. Just I would never have guessed that prior to sitting down this morning.
I sat down this morning to start it out. And I wondered which color they were going to be.
Yeah, I didn't know. I really didn't know.
How boring it seemed to be.
The NASDAQ is closing in on double-digit gains for the year at 9.4%, and it's only February. So that's either a good thing or it could be a terrible thing. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, they're equating this kind of action to the crash of the dot-com.
Yeah, I have some reasons that's not correct.
Exactly right. Yeah. It is an absolutely invalid comparison, and you'll cover that momentarily.
I will. There were three sectors of the S&P 500 that dropped this week. They included utilities, consumer discretionary, and consumer staples. Both consumer staples and utilities are defensive sectors, and both are down for the year. And I would say look for money to rotate into those two sectors if we start to see a market pullback. Yep. So that's something – that's a – if you're an active trader, that would be a pretty easy way to make some money somewhere down the road.
Yeah, and they'll be reasonable to get into.
Yeah, exactly. The story of the year, though, has been energy, and it has been a really long time since I've said that.
Yeah. Energy. Well, it depends. In a positive sense, yes.
Well, since I've said that, the story of the year, yeah, I guess that would make sense either way, but in a good way, mm-hmm. Yeah. The energy sector was up 5% this week, and it's up almost 18% in 2021, just smashing. But if you look at a chart, it's still so far below its peak from – I don't know, 7-8 years ago, that it's that you can still see that there's room to run in there. A lot of it's going to have to do with oil prices, which are definitely elevated from where they've been recently.
Yeah, and you know that when you fill up your tank these days.
Definitely, you're going to feel it at the pump, and I suspect within the next 4 years, that's going to get worse instead of better. So
sounds like it.
Just something to not really look forward to. The U.S. is not the only market seeing gains in 2021, though. China's up 14%, was up 7% this week alone. Only a few markets that we really track are down this year, Brazil, Mexico, and Spain being the notable ones. Emerging markets have done really well this year. They're up almost 12% despite Brazil's lack of performance.
But they're kind of like oil, too. They're up to not good.
Yeah,
and rising.
That is true. They've been really lagging the more developed stock markets in recent years. So
that means there's something to look at.
Yep, yeah. Definitely. And some of those countries got hit really hard by COVID. Yep. I know that everyone likes to point to the U.S., but the fact is we have healthcare infrastructure that can deal with these things. Some of the emerging markets don't have that same luxury. So they really just got hammered. The story of 2021 so far has been commodities, along with, as I mentioned, energy. Oil's up 21% this year alone. Natural gas is up 16%. And the basket of commodities is up over 11%. And this is happening despite the weakness in gold, which is down 4.3% for the year. Silver has a small gain around 3%. But even with that gold kind of dragging on the basket, it's up 11%. That's pretty solid. Stocks did pretty well this week, but fixed income was a sea of red. Bond markets showed modest decreases just across the board. I couldn't find anything that was up. And the long Treasury ETF, TLT, is now down 6.6% for this year.
And it's still too high.
Yep, and we were warning everyone about that for the last few months, and it just continues to not be a good investment right now. You might not be surprised to learn that short interest in stocks has declined substantially. I wonder why. The biggest declines in shorts was in the stocks that were the most heavily shorted in 2020. The Reddit crowd apparently has the short sellers running for the hills, and I don't blame them. GameStop shorts have declined by 101.7%.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Of course, they were a bit too high, too.
A little bit, yeah. And Dillard's has declined by more than 50%, just to give a few examples. But short sales across the board are really down for fear that the Reddit crowd will come after you if you start making those kind of trades.
Do you know what company GoGo is? I had not heard of it.
No, I saw that note, but I don't know anything about
them. They provide internet service on airplanes. They're now the heaviest shorted stock. I think if I owned that right now, I'd get out of there.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it makes sense, though. Airplanes aren't flying, so therefore internet on airplanes isn't getting used.
Yep.
So just a brief summary of where we are with COVID today. As usual, the news outlets can only talk about the negative, and they love to run the stories about how different strains of the virus are spreading, and that's the end of the world. But the truth is that both new case rates and hospitalization rates began to drop before the vaccinations were even taking effect. At the current pace of about 1.5 million doses of vaccine per day being administered in the U.S., the 65-plus demographic is on track for immunity by late March, and the general adult population should reach that goal by midsummer. Why they're not talking about this is beyond me, because instead of this, we're hearing about ridiculous talk about double masking and suggesting that we're going to be masking through 2022. But honestly, just tell the truth, because if you know that we're going to reach immunity by June, tell people that, because that gives people a reason to stay home because they have something to look forward to. It just doesn't make any sense.
The little dictator doesn't want to lose his 15 minutes of fame.
Crazy.
It is crazy. What can you say? Anyway, if I sound better than normal to most people out there, it's because I've had both my shots.
Yep.
And my wife finally got her first one yesterday, so you know it's actually happening. I am very enthusiastic. I know not everybody is, but I am, and that's that, in my opinion. We're going to take a short break, pay some bills. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
Trivia question today, as usual, sponsored by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888, and it will probably be the man himself answering the phone. Let's talk about serious money, shall we, for a minute? How many billionaires do you think are in the U.S.? I got to put it in perspective.
I don't know.
It's way more than you would guess.
Yeah, I think I heard the other day that there's about 9 that live in Northeast Florida.
Yeah, think about that.
Yeah, so if you extrapolate that out, I mean, and we're not even the rich part of Florida. Yeah. South Florida has all the money. So
yeah. 660.
Okay.
Which is, you know, that's sort of understandable. You know, 330 million population is very successful. But here's the question today. How many billionaires were created since the COVID-19 scare began?
Hmm.
That ought to keep you guessing, huh?
Interesting.
Yeah. All right. Do you want to wrap up any more on the market?
Yeah, I just want to touch on earnings.
I thought there might be a couple things.
They continue to roll in, and the rates are staying at the very good end of the scale. So far, 81% of the 933 companies that have reported are beating earnings estimates, and 77% are beating on revenues.
Unheard of.
Really unheard of. 16% have raised forward guidance, also unheard of. The weakest sector, in an ironic twist, has been energy, which is dominating year-to-date performance on the S&P 500. Technology and utilities have been the strongest, and utilities is the worst performing sector. So interesting trading happening.
Shifting
right now.
Going on, perhaps?
Yeah, exactly. Tech stocks are raising forward guidance at a pretty astonishing 31% rate.
That is
a sign that it is not 1999 all over again.
That's what I wanted to talk to you about.
Yeah, they are raising forward guidance, meaning they plan on raising on their revenues going up and their profits going up in the next year. And they're feeling confident enough to report that to the street so that they know that this means that their targets will get raised. So when a company signals that they're going to have a really good year in 2021, that's a pretty good sign that they're feeling much more confident than they were the past year about their forward earnings.
What was the problem in 1999 with the dot-com bubble?
Well, they didn't have any earnings. That was the problem.
Hmm. But we were told for month after month after month that wasn't important. What was important was how many hits you got on your website.
Yeah, and what your burn rate was, so you'd know what day you would run out of money and go out of business.
Mm-hmm. And that whole term, the burn rate, I thought was rather interesting. You take all the money you've raised from the venture capitalists and divide it by what you spend per day on average, and when you run out of money, you're burned up.
Yep.
And what happened when they ran out of money?
They would go get more money.
And then when the VCs dried up, there was no more money. So it went boom. Good morning, Mike.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. How are we today?
Excellent. You?
Hanging in there.
Good. What's happening?
Like to ask a question and try to answer the trivia question, if I may.
Sure.
All right. As to how many billionaires since we've had the pandemic, I believe?
Yes.
56.
You're a little on the high side.
Okay.
A surprisingly good guess, though.
All right. And question. You don't have to talk specifically to a particular stock, but I do have this dimensional stock. It's a three times bear related to the Russell 2000. It's symbol TZA.
Mm.
And but in general, it just split. It just had a reverse split of 1-for-8.
Mm-hmm.
And they explain it as to they did it, and they've done it before. One reason is to meet certain requirements by exchanges as to the price of a stock, where sometimes stocks, if they get too low, it doesn't meet certain requirements. But the question I'm asking is about the second reason they do it. They say that if market capitalization stays stable, one reason that they do it is it'll tend to bring up the price of the stock, the value of the stock, because the stock now there's less shares outstanding, and I would just be, you know, it's not as diluted. And I just would like to get your opinion on that, if you would. Thank you very much.
Oh, you wanted to catch it offline?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Yeah, we can talk about TZA.
Yeah, it's a leveraged
ETF. Yes, it is, and it's a three times bear ETF. So what that means is the goal of that ETF is to capture the down. You're betting that the market's going to go down,
yep.
And this will perform three times as well if that particular segment of the market goes down. So essentially, if the Russell, if the small cap index dropped by 10%, this should go up by 30%.
Right. And so, vice versa.
Right. So right now has been a really bad time to own this particular ETF because the Russell 2000 is actually on fire. It's outpacing the S&P 500 by a fairly wide margin, and it's all been in the positive direction. So this one, according to what Mike said, did a reverse split, I think is what he said.
Yes.
And what that means is that they will, when a stock splits, when you currently own one share, and then if you do a 2-for-1 split, you own two shares and they're both worth half. This is the opposite. So if you own two shares and they do a 1-for-2 reverse split, then you own one share and it's worth double. Mm-hmm. And typically that happens when the share price of an ETF falls too low. It might violate some type of a rule that they have when they set up the ETF.
A $5 minimum per share,
right?
Value.
And so they'll do that to get the value back up. You don't actually, after the split or before the split, you have the same dollar value of what you had. You just own a different number of shares.
I think it's instructive to look at what brought that value down to where it couldn't be sustained as a trading mm-hmm. item. It's failing. And the index this follows is the Russell 2000?
It actually just says small cap. I just use that as an example.
Yeah, the R2000 would be a typical small cap index to do this on. What's the hottest commodity in town today?
Well, that might be small cap index.
It might just be.
Yeah.
Therefore, not only are you buying in, if you were to buy one of these, to a loser, but you're tripling your chances of being the biggest loser.
Yeah. So if it continues to go up, and let's say small caps go up 20% this year, this ETF would, by design, be down around 60%. So that's pretty painful.
Yeah. And if it's headed down and reverse splits, the usual thing that happens is down the line, it'll reverse split again. In fact, I believe Mike mentioned it had done this before.
Yep. And we've seen this with other ETFs that track different things.
There was one that they even stopped trading that was leveraging the price of oil back in the 2006 range, something like that. Let's just talk about risk for a moment. The risk in the stock market is big enough at a one-time multiple. If you're going to double or triple your risk, it better be play money, because you are going to lose a bundle and you're going to lose it three times quicker than everybody else does. So you have to look at anything. What's the company that does so many of these?
This one is done by Direxion.
Yeah, but there's a bigger one. I can't think of it right now. There are lots of people who do it. But whenever you see the word leverage in the name of an ETF, then you know you don't really have a stock. A stock is an equity in something. The ETFs are just a group of derivatives, not actual stocks. So their only intrinsic value, to me, is zero. But their value is created by the movements in the market that make people want to pay more or less for these. If it's going your way, you can ride it for a while. I personally would use stop losses. And I think there are even some of these leverage funds that won't take stop losses or limit orders even.
I'm not sure. I don't trade in them.
If we did that as certified financial planners, we would be probably decertified.
I think that there are certain investors that could handle
that's
that.
That's the problem. You have to qualify your investor.
But there are ProShares is another big company.
ProShares is the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah,
they have the biggest.
They have 2X and 3X ETFs in both directions, up and down.
And they never track exactly 3-to-1 or 2-to-1 because there's a cost to trade in the derivatives.
Yep.
But they reflect that kind of movement. So I'm not down on them if you know what you're doing. But this particular one right now is destined for failure. Small caps are absolutely on fire.
And the problem is that the outlook for small caps is even better.
Yeah.
So you've got the world reopening. Small cap stocks got hit the hardest by COVID and the shutdowns. They don't have the international exposure. They don't have the ability to do business online like large caps do, or not to the same degree. Mm-hmm. So they really got hit hard. So owning them in last March may have been a good idea.
Now, if you're into this kind of thing, what I'd probably be doing right now is searching around the internet and finding the name of an ETF that's a double or triple bull in small caps.
Yeah, I mean, that to me, that's a better this is betting. This if you're leveraging
exactly.
your ETFs, this is closer to betting than investing. But that's a better bet right now than
we
the downside.
Right. But if you look at what area to be in, if you feel like doing the leverage thing, and we advise not to, but you're perfectly capable. If you find some things like that, if you go to ProShares or whatever and look at them, think about this. The trend is your friend. The trend in small caps is decidedly positive right at the moment. So if you owned this one, I'd be getting rid of it in favor of the leveraged upside small caps right at the moment. So it's just dangerous business. It's fun, more fun to talk about than to lose money in. And I have nothing else to say. I'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
A reminder that our trivia question is still out there. How many billionaires have been created in the U.S. since the beginning of COVID? And we know that 56 is a little too high. I have a number of financial gurus. Just to be continued. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning, gentlemen. Nice show again today. I listen to you guys regularly every morning, every Saturday.
We appreciate it. Thanks, we would Ron. Do every morning, but I just don't have the gumption. Oh, wait, no, it's my day job that interferes.
Yeah, you got to stop doing that.
I know. I'm too old.
I wouldn't know about that, but I stopped working almost 6 years ago, and it's pretty nice.
Let me guess, you can't figure out how you ever had time to go to work.
You know what? They're exactly right. I don't know when I'm going to cut the grass. You know, I'm putting it off because I'm too busy to do it today.
Yeah.
And when I was working it, it got done my clockwork.
Yeah, I did my retirement when I was in my 40s because everybody told me that it was a lot of fun, but it comes too late in your life. So I tested it, loved it, and went back to work.
My brother had a great idea. He said we all should, after college, go on retirement for 5 years. You know, government covers it.
Sure.
And then work until you die.
Yeah, but I'm the only one who doesn't want to pay taxes for that. The young kids all do.
Oh, yes.
So what's on your mind today?
I was just going to take a shot at your trivia question.
Sure.
I heard 56 was too high, so let's try like 47.
And let's try being right.
Ding, ding, ding. Wow.
I actually, I had a plus or minus two on it, and the exact answer is 46, and that puts you right in the bracket.
Nice.
Wow, that's a nice surprise.
Well, I'm glad you took a good, solid guess. It's amazing to me, given the circumstances of the last year, now 11 months, that 46 billionaires can be created in that time. That tells you, I believe, why the NASDAQ has been on fire.
So, very good.
Yeah, excellent. I'll put you on hold, and we'll.
Thank you.
Alan stepped away from his desk for a second, but hang on, and he'll be back and get it for you. Thanks so much.
Okay, guys. Thanks.
Appreciate
the call. Thank you. Great show as always.
Thank you. One of my many financial gurus, an uber conservative, writes a newsletter a couple times a week, and I was reading it this week, and a piece that was in there really caught my eye because it pertains to everyone, and it's about very personal financial things. So I shot him an email and asked him if he'd mind if I read it on my radio program. And he asked me a couple questions and said, absolutely, do it. And I'm going to read it. You'll soon understand exactly why. And I'm going to read it all the way through exactly as it was written, because I think when you are quoting somebody, you ought to quote them. So here goes. Alan's just coming back. We want to, Adam will get him. Okay, good. Bob, I've been a LifeLock client since the first years, well before Norton bought them. Anyway, one of the key tricks is to just put a freeze on all your credit agencies. It also reduces your junk mail. But I needed a second business credit card and had to unfreeze my credit briefly in 2020 to do this. Within months, the credit agency involved gets a phone call from someone pretending to be me who has my details, and they pass the questions. Get access, and I get a LifeLock message. Within days, because I was traveling, they are calling and opening accounts or trying to at various banks. It takes me 4 hours to fix the Experian account they took over, and I initiated a 7-year fraud alert. I also found out about checksystems.com doing the same thing for bank accounts. Everything is locked back down. But damn, they squeezed it in. without LifeLock telling me these accounts were passing my authentication, I would never have known. I think you do your readers a service, and you too, because I could be targeted because I'm also a conservative voice, by mentioning they should call all three agencies and request their credit be frozen if they don't need to be opening new credit accounts. Finally, we own two houses outright, and that's now a danger because of people falsifying quitclaim deeds and then getting loans against the property and not paying them. I opted for Home Title Lock in part because Glenn Beck interviewed them and gave them some credibility, and also because it's not so much money right now that I need to worry about the cost. As I am busy making money, I will probably find a way to monitor it myself at some point to save the money. It's crazy out there. Double check everything. I trust nothing anymore. My Russian friends are teasing me that we're going to experience what they learned to live with. Someone showing up with a title to their property and the police kicking them out. Turns out whoever has the bigger guns wins. Be careful and good luck. Couple of comments. How many times have you all heard from me, do the credit freeze? Every time you need to have somebody look at your credit, you can thaw it for, I recently had to do it for one day, and I haven't had any problems since then, but the freeze went right back on. Now, I have told you also about the home title people who are selling like crazy on TV. If you don't have internet access or if you're not savvy or anything like that and you're concerned about that, fine, sign up for one of the services and they'll let you know. But I find that just by going to your county clerk's office online periodically and having a service like LifeLock, then you really can cover yourself without that added. Now, as far as LifeLock, I get nothing from it. I have been using it for years. I'm very satisfied with what it does. And I get notices every once in a while about something going on that they find questionable. So far, it's always been me, but it might not always be me. And I agree also. I have Russian friends who have told me stories about what goes on over there, and that kind of caught my eye at the end. Protect yourself. People aren't out there looking to protect you. If you need a service like that, get it. If you don't think you do, pay attention. But almost every county in Florida has the ability to go online and check to see if there's been any activity on your particular property. Use it. Just like that. Just a little public service. Thanks, Bob Rainier, for letting me do that because it seems to hit very, very close to home. Now, we're just a couple minutes from a break. So I'll use that up, and right after the break, Adam will go into the second in his series that has to do with people who became very successful once they or their parents moved to America for the opportunity. And he won't even tell me who it is today, so I'll have to figure it out along with you. Meanwhile, in the news, let's do this one. I got so many. The numbers are in for the fourth quarter in real estate. And all over the internet now are these headlines. House prices up 14.9% in the fourth quarter alone. Wow, I must be getting really wealthy. So you read a little bit between the lines and you find out that median home prices went up 14.9%. Excuse me. The median is a number that says at this particular sale, as many sold that were higher as lower. It means nothing about the value of your home. Your home could have changed or zero or down, but there weren't many low-price homes sold because right now the inventory is so low. And what you're going to find is an increasing median. But the average could even go down. So if you think all of a sudden you're worth 15 to 30% more because of the value of your house, you're not.
Well, you actually might be, though. It really has been
some
a crazy
places,
market.
Yeah. Absolutely. Excuse me. There are some places outside of New York where the average home is actually up 30%. But don't count on that being yours. We'll be right back with Adam's pieces of the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And without any waiting, good morning, Frank.
Good good morning. I just want to get your phone number or how I can reach you folks.
Oh, I'm so and glad you asked.
How do you spell your name? I tried to find you on the internet, and I couldn't spell it correctly.
Yeah, I'd let Adam take over. He does this very well.
I can't tell you how many times our last name gets butchered, and so you're not alone in not being able to spell it. No big deal. It's actually VANWIE, two words. It's Victor Alpha November Whiskey India Echo. If you're in the military.
Okay, excellent. You must have been in the service in the past, for a past life or something.
I was not, but I know that this town is heavily related to the service, and we really appreciate everyone's excellent. Service.
Now, how can I reach you on a regular phone number, not on the radio or anything else?
Yeah.
So I can talk to you guys and set up an appointment.
We'd be happy to talk to you. You can call us on Monday at
904-684.
Yep, 685.
685-1505. Okay, I say again, 904-685-1505. And you're located where?
We're just right at the end of Butler Boulevard, and we're actually in Jacksonville Beach, although most people think it's in Ponte Vedra, but we're right on the border.
Okay, no problem. I will give you a call on Monday then. Thank you so much.
Great, well, thanks for the call.
Appreciate the call.
Look forward to it.
All right, who am I, or who is he, or who is she?
If you caught the show last week, you know I'm doing a new segment. It's about immigrants or kids of immigrants who are now who have realized the American dream, who are now millionaires, multimillionaires, and most of them had some luck, but all of them have a great deal of talent and an incredible work ethic. And you'll see this throughout this series that they're every single one of them had a drive that was unparalleled at some point in their life. They weren't always that way, but at some point in their life, they turned and turned this drive into the American dream. So
often results from failure.
Many times it does. And this is not exactly one of those stories, but it could have been. So at 40 years old, this man is truly an inspiration for turning his life from a negative to a positive. He was born in the Little Havana area of Miami in 1981 to Cuban immigrants who separated when he was young, and he didn't have an easy childhood. In fact, he was thrown out of his house for dealing drugs when he was a teenager. He spent some time with a foster family in Georgia, and he readily admits that he got into a lot of things he shouldn't have while growing up.
Can we pause for a second?
Yeah.
The rules are the rules. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Excellent. You?
Couldn't be better.
Good. What's up?
So I have a question on behalf of my son and daughter-in-law. They live in Atlanta, and housing prices are rising rapidly. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if you might have any advice vis-a-vis the market at its inflated heights now and, you know, the possibility that we are in something of a real estate bubble. Their relative income, I'm going to guess, is $200,000 a year, give or take some, and their only debt at this point in time is probably a car loan, and this would be their first house purchase. They're finding houses that they looked at some time ago are $100,000 more this year, let's say. So any perspective on that you might offer?
Yes, one major thing. All real estate is local. It's like they say about politics. All politics is local politics. But real estate bubbles occur, but they occur in geographic locations, and it depends on the health of the area around them. It also depends a little bit on the political situation, unfortunately, for Georgia people, but that's just a sort of an aside. But I would probably tell them that they might have to drive a little further than they really want to, which in Atlanta, it breaks my heart to say something like that because of the traffic mess that's up there. But they basically don't have very many options. You can go smaller or you can go further out. But the market is so hot, especially for young people, because they're not buying the $1.5 million houses, that you got to be ready, be qualified, have your checkbook in your hand, or you're going to lose out to somebody. And that is not what I consider helpful information. It's just the truth.
But if they're thinking that they shouldn't buy now because the market is hot, you could make that argument, but here's what we know. We know that there's a ton of demand from, remember a couple of years ago when we were joking that all the millennials were sleeping on their parents' couches in the basement? Well, those kids are now buying houses. Yep. And so that's where the demand is really coming from. Yep. It's people in their generation moving out of their parents' houses, moving out of apartments and buying houses. Some of that was brought to you by the pandemic. The other part has been brought to you by the Fed. Interest rates are really, really low, and they're not going anywhere in the next 2 to 3 years, according to what the Fed is saying. So that the cheap money is definitely helping drive up housing prices, and that is not a trend that I think is going to stop. Mm-hmm. As long as the demand keeps up, so will the inflation. And so you said that they looked at houses a year ago, and they're up 100,000. You definitely don't want to get into a situation where you think, okay, I'm going to wait for the bubble to burst. But what happens next year, they're up another 100,000 and or more, because the inflation tends to be in percentages. And so that 10% inflation last year can be more dollars next year. Mm-hmm. So the fact is, if they're going to spend 5 to 10 years in this house, the odds of it being worth less than what they pay for it today are fairly small. And so if they really want to buy a house, if it's the right time and they can afford it, I would say go ahead and do it.
Bite the bullet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done this every time we moved. Every house we bought, we kept saying, darn it, we're just one buyer too late.
Yeah,
exactly. Last guy did so well. And then every time we sold it, the people who bought it said, man, you did really well.
Yeah, exactly.
Long run, it's probably the most solid thing you can do, not financially. A house is not really an investment, but most of the time they turn out to have been a pretty good one. So I wish I could have anything smarter to say, but my version of it is very simple. Bite the bullet and buy something.
Are there any buying strategies such as a duplex or maybe some contrarian views you might offer?
There are some tax breaks.
I'm wondering who the guys who made out in the mid-2000 real estate boom. There are a lot of losers, of course. And, yeah.
People with cash.
Yeah, people with cash, and then the handful of people that saw it coming and shorted the mortgage-backed securities. But yep. There really wasn't many other winners in that debacle. It was pretty widespread destruction of wealth rather than building of wealth.
Right now, if you've got cash and you walk into a house that you know to be a good deal, you just lay down the cash and say, I'll take it. Otherwise, the guy behind you is going
to
do it.
Yeah, it's hard enough to find a house that's for sale right now, much less a good deal. So this isn't really great news for you, for your kids or for your kid, but but that's just kind of the cards that we've been dealt right now. There's just millions of new homeowners and not enough inventory being built, and therefore prices are going up and demand remains high.
Do you listen to Howard and Angela before us on Saturdays?
I did not. No, I'm sorry.
Okay, if I were you, at 9 o'clock next Saturday, get on the radio on WBOB. And listen to them a bit, and you can call them. They have been real estate professionals for many years. They've been doing their show. I think this is year 10 for them.
It is.
And they're very, very helpful. And they also know a little bit about what's happening in other places and some gimmicks, so to speak. Yes, duplexes do have some value if you're looking to have somebody share your mortgage and depreciate part of it. The problem is, to me, that the upside wouldn't be quite as high. But that may not be an all bad thing if they're trying to get in and they're just a little bit close for that.
I see. Thank you very much for your guidance, gentlemen.
Well, we really appreciate your call. Thanks so much.
Yep.
All right, we only got a minute. Can you take us out of the fields of Georgia for a little bit, and then we'll reintroduce it next week?
Yeah, I kind of want to hold this over just because it's really it's a good story, and I want to have time to tell it properly. So okay. we'll just hold this over until next week, and do it then.
So answer me one little curiosity question: how wealthy is this person?
So this person has managed to grow a fortune of about $100 million. estimated.
I could live on half of that.
Yeah, but he's also very charitable, so we'll get to that as well.
Yeah, it's easier to be charitable when you're worth $100 million, and I'm glad some people are.
Yeah, in fact, most of the people I've been researching are when you get to that level of wealth.
It's America,
yep.
Especially if you come from somewhere else. All right, we're going to have to run, unfortunately. This has been a lot of fun. We appreciate all the calls, everything. We'll see you next week at the same time. This is the Vanley Financial Hour.